If you've been told to pull up your socks recently, then make sure it's a pair of RCR socks. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/shop.
Welcome back, everyone. You are here on the Up Your Brave show with Natalie Cutler-Welsh on Reality Check Radio. And next up, I'm talking to Belinda Faulkner on the topic of moving stagnation with Japanese-style acupuncture and the importance of self-care. Welcome to the show, Belinda.
Hi, Natalie. Hi, great to be here with you.
Good to have you on the show. I know you've been busy traveling, and I've been wondering about acupuncture, and I'm excited we're going to dive into it today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you haven't really talked to anybody about acupuncture before, I don't think, have you?
No, but this might be the start of many. Who knows? So for those of you that don't know Belinda, Belinda, with some credentials, I'm going to read them out. BHSC, acupuncture, diploma in Tuina massage.
Tuina massage, yeah.
Tuina massage and Qigong.
Qigong.
Qigong. I always get that wrong. I'm like, am I going to go Qi? Qigong is the owner of Aroha Acupuncture based in Waikanae on the Kapiti Coast. Belinda is passionate about all aspects of women's health, especially women facing menopausal midlife changes. And she also enjoys assisting women through discomforts during pregnancy and helps prepare them emotionally and physically for the birth of their babe. With 16 years clinical experience, Belinda has studied other forms of acupuncture besides Chinese, her favorite being Japanese style based on the work of Kiko Matsumo. She also practices specialized forms of body work, including and gentling way abdominal and pelvic massage. Belinda teaches her clients specific self-care methods to extend the effects of the treatments and to inspire and empower them to take responsibility for their own well-being. Well, Belinda, I'm all about people taking responsibility for their own well-being. So I think that is a great place to start. Let's dive in and learn a little bit more. I'd love to hear from you a little bit more about your journey. You've obviously done quite a few things around this wellness space. Tell me a little bit about how you got here.
Right. Well, I guess it was a second half of life career for me. So basically, I got burnt out working in the corporate sector. 10 years working in a particular job. It was very stressful, and came to a bit of a midlife crisis, I guess. My father sort of died around the same time, and I needed to do some things for myself. And I've always been really interested in holistic health and well-being, and put my toe in the water with a few different things like holistic pulsing and yoga and meditation and other things like that. So basically, when I was in a bit of a crisis, I went to the New Zealand School of Acupuncture. A friend of mine, her daughter was actually training at the time, and so I went along and had some acupuncture, my first acupuncture session, and she was a third year student. She did a very simple treatment on me. It's called the Four Gates, just four simple points. And it was just actually mind and body blowing, really. It was just like I was just incredibly amazed at how different I felt, how my state changed so instantly from the stimulation of these points called the Four Gates. So it was like, for the first time in my life, I felt energy moving in my body. I've never sort of felt that before internally. And it was just, I just was so intrigued about it. I just thought, I just have to know more about this. And I was at a real crossroads, so I decided to sign up myself and study at the school the following year. So that was a quite amazing point for me.
It's so fascinating, isn't it, when life puts these opportunities or experiences in front of us, and then we take, whether we walk that path or not, and you decided to walk that path. Let's start with some basics about acupuncture. Some of our listeners will have experienced acupuncture. They will have lain on a table and had their eyes closed and had somebody put some of these needles in specific points. If you can talk to us about how does it work? And what does the experience look like for someone that's never really had that? And how does it work? And then I'll throw a few more questions at you.
Yeah, sure. Well, and I guess it looks a little bit different on my table than it might look on other practitioners' tables. So I do practice quite differently from other Chinese medicine acupuncturists, because I studied and I practice more of the Japanese style acupuncture. So on the whole, Japanese style is quite a lot more gentle. They use a lot finer needles, and there are quite a few different styles of Japanese acupuncture. So, and many of them rely on sort of, you know, very detailed pulse diagnosis and looking at the tongue. I look at those things as well, but the main thing that I really do, and I learned through my studies with Kiko Matsumoto, the Japanese woman who lives in America, but, you know, she travels the world and teaches acupuncturists very different methods. So what I learned from her was really about the palpation, you know, so touching the body. So basically, when somebody comes to my table, I'm feeling, you know, their neck, points on their neck, their head, the chest, the torso, points on the hands and the feet. So, and so seeing, you know, what channels are have things going on, you know, what's active in their body and what the different patterns are. And another big focus too is what they call the hara, which is the abdomen, our abdomen. And so I palpate the abdomen quite carefully. And so there's what we call these reflex zones. So if I find tension, tightness, discomfort in any one or more of the zones, then that points me towards a particular treatment. So it's really the persons who's presenting that we're working together, you know, they're really directing the treatment through their body, like talking to me. So so it's like, yeah, it's quite a different experience. Whereas if you go to a Chinese medicine acupuncturist, lying on their table, you know, you'll talk and they'll take the signs and symptoms, etc., look at your tongue, take your pulse, and then you'll have like a set of points put in your body which relate to that particular pattern, and then hope that it works. So the difference with how I work is that I use the body to really finely tune exactly which points and where need to be used, you know, what points are going to work in terms of like clearing the stagnation, clearing the tension, tightness in the body. Because basically the aim is to have, you know, chi, blood, lymph, everything flowing freely throughout the body. So stagnation happens when, you know, things aren't moving and you get, you know, you get the tension, pain, tightness, as an example of that. Or it could be, you know, people have had abdominal surgery and, you know, C-sections and things like that, and they get a lot of scar tissue and adhesions and things like that. So it's about moving all that stagnation and getting everything moving. So it might be, you know, I'm holding my needle on a point with somebody, and I'll see if it makes a difference on their hara or other reflex zones. And because, as I say, I want to see everything relaxing and feeling just nice without any tension or tightness. And it might be just moving the needle just like a millimeter or 2 millimeters, you know, it will make the difference. And I get the feedback from the client who says to me, oh, well, that didn't really make much of a difference. And then I move it just a millimeter or two, and they'll say, oh, yes, I felt that release. Yeah, so it's like it's a really synergistic relationship between the practitioner and the client. We're working together. It's not like you're lying there and having something done to you and hope that it works. It's actually experiencing it working, you know, like I'm experiencing from my perspective, and I can feel things when they release. But also the client gets to feel, you know, the releasing happening in their body and the relief that brings. So it's like almost bringing people back in touch with their bodies again, because often a lot of us are really, you know, working in our head, and, you know, it's often if people had trauma as well, they're really cut off from their bodies. So I see a lot of my job is to, you know, bringing people's awareness to what's going on in their body, and then how to move the stagnation. And then the self-care comes in to, you know, often teach them how to do self-care massage, abdominal massage, massaging their chest, you know, keeping their neck nice and soft, etc. So if people can actually do some of this abdominal massage and this different specialized massage techniques for themselves, they can really, you know, they can really prolong the effects of the treatment, and then, you know, use it as a maintenance as well. So, but again, it's bringing people in touch with their bodies, and, you know, bringing people, grounding people in their body, and bringing their attention and their love to themselves. And I guess it's, you know, it's quite a journey for us to be learning how to be our own best friends, you know, how to, yeah. I mean, when I first started doing the self-care massage, I felt quite a lot of resistance to doing that. And, you know, probably old patterns about not being worthy of my own loving attention, something like that was helping me, was making me resistant to actually putting my hands on my body in a loving way and, you know, doing the self-care massage. Well, when I did it, you know, I just felt like amazing. I could feel like, I feel like all the lights and, you know, in my system are like waking up. It's like, yeah. So it again, it's really connecting me up again with everything, rather than being like a, you know, tight. And when things are tight, it doesn't circulate. So again, it's just about, you know, releasing, relaxing, and, you know, feeling yourself more as part of the universe rather than just like a, yeah, someone who's just not connected, basically. Yeah.
Well, it is so easy for us to go through life and just, you know, go from one task to another. I mean, I've just finished my job and I rush home and we're on an interview. It's so easy. It's kind of what we do. But I think it's so important to take that time. And I think what I've noticed from this conversation so far is now I've got a kind of a visual idea of the difference, like Japanese, which you highlighted was much more of a gentle approach, but also it sounds very attentive. Like you're standing there and you're just making minor adjustments, reminding us about how the body does, you know, respond. And it does tell us what's going on and the importance of moving in negative energy or chi, as you talked all about, through the body as well. I would love it if you could share with our listeners, if you can verbally explain something that they can actually do at home. Like obviously they can go and see a practitioner and everything, but is there something that you can talk us through that they can do at home, which is going to be beneficial for their body? I know I've seen a few videos on Instagram where people are helping with the lymphatic system with flow or releasing energy and doing some shaking. Can you talk me through a self-care exercise that our listeners can do for themselves?
Yeah, sure. So there's a couple, but one that we can do easily. So first of all, I would ask everybody just to turn their head one way than the other. So just turn your head to one side as far as you comfortably can.
So like looking left all the way.
Looking left and then slowly looking right, and then just noticing how your neck feels. So just noticing where there's tension, tightness, any discomfort or whatever. Yep. And so if you take your right hand, if you're right-handed, probably, yep, and then apply it to the left side of your chest, so under your collarbone, so that bone sticking up at the top of your chest is your collarbone, and you'll feel your sternum and the ribs. So basically you want to get your fingers under the collarbone, next to the sternum, and pushing out, you know, you feel the ribs between your fingers. So you're going to take quite a firm sort of massage. You can do it on top of clothes, or you can do it under your clothes with a bit of massage oil. But you know, anytime you're sitting at your computer, this is a really good thing to do. So just again, taking your right hand to your left side and pushing out. So one, and then going down a little bit, two, and then one more stroke from the sternum outwards, three, just to the top of the breast tissue in woman. So yeah, again, and go to the top again and pushing out, And then, so you want to do it like three strokes, like three times on each side. So when you've done like three times on the right, the left side, just move your left hand to the right hand side and under the collarbone, pushing out like three nice pushes, yeah, to the top of the breast tissue. And take a few nice deep breaths as you do it. So again, this is releasing the pec muscles. People are often really, really tight in the pec muscles, but this is also the area of the lungs. So really good to take some nice deep breaths as you do it, because as we release those pecs, people will be able to breathe a bit better. So then once you've done that like a few times on each side, then again, check with your head, turning it one way and then the other, and it should feel looser. It should feel not as tight, or yeah, it should see some improvement, some change. Yeah.
Thank you so much for showing us. I've got you on video, but I know most people will be listening on audio. So her fingers were kind of, I would say, almost like a rake, but pushing away from the center of the body towards the shoulder in that pec area. It's so true. We do so much with our pecs, our pectoral muscles. Like I, you know, back in the day when I had young kids, I was pushing strollers, you know, I was like, you know, we're hauling groceries. You know, it's computer work, you know, it's driving, it's doing the dishes. It's a lot of stuff on the pectoral area. How often, ideally in an ideal world, how often would somebody do that exercise? Like every day or a couple times a week?
Every day, maybe even a few times a day. You know, it might be something you do, you know, and it could be something just to do, you know, if you're on the computer a lot, to take a break and to do this, you know, and so there's no magic number. It's just, you know, when you remember to, you know, might have a little post-it note on your computer remind you to do it. But that would be just a really nice, easy thing you can do during your working day, just to release the muscles and to get some more lymph flow, you know. So because when we're sitting in static, you know, our lymph doesn't move as well, our chi doesn't move as well, our blood doesn't move as well. So we wanted to get everything moving and release stagnation, especially it'll help with the neck and shoulders, yeah.
And you also talked about breathing, which is obviously very important as well, helps people with breathing. I'd love to ask you about immunity. Is there, if any, a connection between treatments like acupuncture or self-care exercises that we can do at home and raising our own immunity naturally?
Well, I would say, you know, again, if everything's moving really well, if there's no tension, tightness, pain anywhere, you know, if we're doing the self-massage, we're doing the belly massage and moving the stagnation that's there, because often there's quite a bit to move. And if we do it daily, our whole system is going to benefit. You know, our energy is going to benefit. Again, it's the free flowing of movement, so our body can heal itself. You know, like, you know, if things can't move properly in the channels, well then, you know, how can you know, our body's just defensive energy won't be working as well. So another thing I want to mention is about cold, because a lot of health practitioners in general don't think about cold, but I think about, you know, Chinese medicine and Japanese acupuncturists, I say oriental medicine practitioners think about cold a lot, and how cold, either getting cold, exposed to cold from the outside, or internally, so like eating cold foods, eating frozen foods, eating ice drinks, puts cold inside our body. And again, cold stagnates, you know, like you think of warmth, helps blood, everything move, whereas cold is contracting, and it can often, you know, cause a blockage in our body, and, you know, it can get into the digestive system and stop that working as well. You know, you can get into the uterus. You know, again, we have on the bottom of our feet, we have kidney one, which in the middle of our underside of our foot, and we can draw up through the yin channels into the stomach, into the uterus, cold. So again, we need to be looking, caring for ourselves about what we're exposing ourselves to, and also internally, what cold are we drinking? Ideally, we'd be having, you know, water at just room temperature or slightly warm. You know, a lot of Chinese and Japanese people would like drink, you know, warm green tea and stuff like that. So very protective of themselves against cold, which is quite different to sort of the current fad of doing ice baths and cold showers and things like that.
Yeah, because when you talk, this is so interesting. I'm so thrilled you brought it up because you were talking about cold, and in my mind, I was thinking, oh, cold exposure. And then you're talking about the cold foods. And I was thinking, I wonder if she's going to say they're good for you or not so good for you. Mm. I love everything hot. So I'm really happy to hear about that. You know, I would always choose a warm meal if I was at a restaurant versus like a salad, because I just like things that are warm. How important is it that something you're putting in your body, for example, a drink or food, versus what you're exposing your body to? Are you saying that some of the cold exposure trends, it's quite trendy at the minute, is possibly not great, or does it really depend on the person, or is it more about what food, like what you're consuming?
It always comes down to the individual, and I wouldn't be doing it if I'm a menstruating woman, maybe in the second half of the cycle when we're warmer and we can withstand more things like that, but not in the first half of the cycle. And if a person is very deficient in energy and chi and blood, it might make them feel better for a short while, but over time it's going to actually reduce their vitality, reduce their kidney energy. So I don't see it as a good thing, even though it might, feel quite energizing at the time.
Okay, so on the flip side, would exposure to extreme heat be possibly a good thing or a bad thing, or also independent?
Yeah. As some people have quite a lot of heat going on as well, so they would feel averse to that anyway. So, yeah. But generally, I find most women who I'm working with are mostly quite cold and more yin, and So I wouldn't say such a good thing for them.
What do you mean by more yin?
So we've got the yin and the yang. So the yang energy is more warming, rising, moving energy. So it's like our vital life force, right, that we feel in our body. So the yin is very much, it's the denseness of our body. So it's much more dense energy, and it relates to, tissue and blood and, the dense aspect of who we are. Whereas the yang energy is the much more energetic and, aspect. So there you go.
Okay. So do we want to have both yin and yang energy for optimal?
We have both operating in our body. Yeah. And so but sometimes these get out of balance. They're usually out of balance. So we often have, people who are more yin, who, usually find it hard to, they often put a lot of weight on and things like that. And then there are more, people who've got more sort of yang, who, have more heat and, maybe more nervous energy and things like that. So, I mean, everyone's different. Everyone has a mix of these different energies within them. And that's the skill of the practitioners, to work out where the excesses and deficiencies are and just how to bring things back, the nervous system, bring things back into balance so that people feel more calm, more present, and their body can heal itself.
So one of the things I'm really hearing from this is encouraging people to reconnect with their body. One of the things during, for example, a session is that you can reconnect with your body, but also doing daily practices or multiple times a day with some self-care. I'm going to come back and ask you about another one, but also I think really appreciating this, something that I'm really taking from this is massage. A lot of people think, oh, massage, special occasion, on my birthday once a year or twice a year, or other people think, oh, massage, sports injury or that type of thing. But what I'm hearing from you is like, there's a lot of massage techniques that we can do on ourselves without having to necessarily go to somewhere and pay someone to do it. And while we just lie there passively, there's some things we can do. One of them you already explained. Talk to me a little bit more about that pelvic or abdominal massage. Is that something, or stomach massage, maybe it was.
Is that something that
is beneficial for everybody or certain people? Is it more for physical or anxiety? Tell me more about that.
Well, again, it's moving the stagnation, moving the energy blocks. So I usually do a belly massage for people. So they have needles, but they'll also have a belly massage. So because I can actually feel, like moving inside the pelvic bone, up inside the rib cage and around, I go from left to right. So applying, first of all, just going very gently and, hands flat to start with, just, feeling the terrain And then actually, you know, putting the fingers just slightly down more, just, you know, feeling what's underneath. And often you'll be feeling like lumps and bumps and, you know, areas that might be uncomfortable for the person. So again, it's, you know, getting them in touch with, you know, what's going on in their body, and show them how they can actually, if they take up this practice, they can actually move that stagnation, and you know, they can feel the changes happening under their body. But yeah, so, and also with, you know, like this, often people have had abdominal surgery, you know, C-sections, which can, you know, be causing people problems, you know, just years later, 20 years later, you know, that's, it's still, you know, it's a blockage of energy. That scar cuts through so many layers of tissue, and there's often a lot of adhesions and thickness and like ropiness. But we, you know, definitely notice, like from doing needling, we feel changes in that. And then from doing the abdominal massage with it, you know, the person feels the difference in how, you know, that tightness can just recede and just feel more normal, rather than like a block. You know, they often feel like just really blocked or numb or in that part of their body. So it's amazing just connecting people up again, really. Yeah. And then teaching them how to keep doing that.
Absolutely. I just find it really empowering, which is why, you know, I have these topics on my show, because while I love truth and freedom and everything, I also love empowerment, when people can actually understand themselves, their body as well, even more. And, you know, how many people do we meet that are like, oh, I've got a problem with my kidney, or I've got this, or I've got that. But sometimes if we notice more or connect with our body sooner, there are some simpler things like moving the energy around, like you said, the stagnation, that we can do in the interim.
Another top tool for people, and, you know, like I call myself the magnesium queen. you've had Karen Creighton on as well, talking about magnesium as well.
Yeah.
Magnesium oil. So topical magnesium oil. So as part of the massage of the self-care, applying this topical spray magnesium onto the body. It's incredible stuff. It's like probably the number one thing, and it's much nicer much more effective putting it on the body. It goes straight in. If people are having tablets, it has to go through the digestive system. So it depends on how people's digestive systems are working, and only a percentage of it's going to be used in their body. But if people got tension, tightness, pain, they can put the magnesium spray straight on the areas, and it makes a difference, you know, really quickly, like immediately. So I get people to put it on their bodies, like I suggest at least 3 times a day, if not more. But like if they can do a minimum of 3 times a day, they'll notice a huge difference in their, you know, less tension, less tightness, feeling calmer. And I mean, I've actually seen quite big physical changes happening with somebody who's actually just slathered themselves in it. You know, I've seen, you know, like holding pattern on a back, you know, and change and just like release. And I've actually seen the leg length of somebody change as well, from that having the changes happening in their back and in their sacrum, etc. You know, it's quite incredible, actually. It's magic stuff. And if there's, you know, one top thing that you would, you know, do for yourself, or like supplement that you would use, I would suggest magnesium oil.
Amazing. Okay. So this is like transdermal magnesium, which means across the skin. So it's going through. And when you say slather on your body, because I want to talk to you about quantity, because when I put magnesium on, when I remember now and then, which is probably once a week, not even, I usually put it on like the soft for my forearm or somewhere like that. I don't actually, are we supposed to go to the source of the problem? Like if I have a sore back, I put it on there, or are you talking about like put it everywhere?
So any tension, tightness, pain, put it there, slather it. But otherwise, if not, I use it on my legs and on my glutes, you know, before I go to bed at night, help with sleep. If I wake up again in the night, I'll put it on again. And I'll try and get it on like during the day as well. So yeah, it makes a huge difference to your well-being. Because I think, you know, magnesium is responsible for about 300 or something different body processes, and it's huge in detoxification as well. So it's really going to help with body's detoxification. Yeah.
Well, there you go, listeners. Yeah. Magnificent magnesium, and yeah, be generous with it. That's my takeaway, because I was being frugal. Yeah. Frugal.
And the more stressed people are, the more they need it, because you know, often when we're stressed, we don't absorb, we use up more minerals, basically. So we need to put more minerals back in to help de-stress us.
Yes. Well, normally I think magnesium for sleep or magnesium for restless legs, but
it's great for that. Yeah.
I hear that there's more to it. If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Up Your Brave show. I'm talking today to Belinda Faulkner all about the topic of moving stagnation with Japanese style acupuncture and the importance of self-care. We would love to hear from you. What is resonating? What are you doing on the daily or maybe on the weekly to support your own self-care? You can send us a text 2057. You can send us an email, inbox@realitycheck.radio. Belinda, before I go to the wrap-up questions, is there anything else you'd like to share with us about either Japanese style acupuncture or the importance of self-care?
Well, I would say, I'm offering, even if people can't get to me for treatment, I'm actually offering some online sessions. So if people want to learn some self-care techniques or some acupressure techniques, that's quite a good way to do it. So we can do that.
Amazing. I'll ask you in a moment about how people can reach out and get in touch. But before I do that, I'll ask you the Up Your Brave question. If you were to truly up your brave in the remaining months, not many left, of 2024, what would you do or not do?
Well, I have to say, actually, just being on this program is really upping my brave, because generally I'm one who's more comfortable working like one-to-one with people or very small groups. So, you know, being in the public sphere like this is actually quite very challenging for me, but it's great to have challenges, and I want to set myself some more challenges. So actually sharing more of my knowledge and wisdom, you know, through like, you know, social media or whatever would be really upping my brave. I've actually been part of an amazing community with Food and Frequencies. You had Karen Creighton and Rock Evans recently on RCR talking about their Food and Frequencies community. And I've been part of their community, you know, all year, really, and it's been amazing. Really different information, health information than what I've received, you know, anywhere else. And so a lot of the focus is on detoxification. For some, that's weight loss and reducing inflammation. I've done, you know, like 3-day water fast, and I've just finished doing a 5-day mono fast using one food a day, two meals. I've been doing the ultimate detox, carnivore detox. So just been learning so much and experiencing the changes in my body. So it's like it's been, because I think a huge thing for us these days is about detox, because we're bombarded from all, you know, everywhere with different toxins, and we need to be, you know, really vigilant about what we're putting into our body and looking at labels and just simplifying things. You know, I found that from really simplifying, even down to having just like, you know, two steaks in one day, like the body likes simple and can process simple foods. I mean, nutrient dense food, you know, like, you know, beef or lamb are really nutrient dense. And I'll be working more as part of their community, which is great. And just that goes on to an event that I'm organising at the moment. So in Kapiti, we've got Deb and Karen who are coming down here. They're going to be at the Green Show.
The Go Green Expo Go Green, in Wellington.
Yeah, the Go Green Show. They're going to be in Kapiti on Monday, the 4th of November, and we're doing a little, you know, about 40 people event at Sunday Cantina in Raumati South. and they're going to be talking about things such as detoxification, inflammation, but they'll be focused on definite things that people can do immediately to take away and integrate into their own self-care regime. So it's cool. So I guess I'm really passionate about sharing things with people that make a big difference in their health and well-being, and that's made a big difference in mine. So maybe helping with other events like that would be, really upping my brave, and putting myself out there, doing some public speaking or something like that, I'd be happy to do in the future as well.
Well, it's exciting. It is upping your brave to share your wisdom on a greater level. There's something magical about working with people one-on-one in small groups as well, but to share it further afield. And I know, thank you so much for mentioning Karen and Deb. I think they're doing a bit of a tour around the place, going to about 8 locations with their food and frequency and doing speaking. They're looking for a few opportunities, I think, in Hamilton and Tauranga, but they have a bunch of other things already scheduled. If you missed that interview, you can check it out on the replay page. What about you personally in your life, in your business? I know you've just got back from an amazing trip to the UK. What else is coming up for you, and how can people connect with you, Belinda?
Okay. Well, for me, I'm actually in November, I'm doing a course. There's an Australian teacher coming over, and he's actually a teacher at the Brisbane School of Acupuncture over there, a university, and he is going to be teaching using tuning forks on different vessels called the 8 extraordinary vessels. So they're really powerful points, but it's really moving into sort of frequency medicine. Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to exploring that whole area. Yeah.
Very good. And where can people follow you online or website?
So I have a website, www.aroha-acupuncture.co.nz. I'm quite active on Facebook, especially. That's probably the best things. Yeah.
Amazing. So you're on Facebook primarily, Belinda Falconer.
Primarily, yeah.
Great. All right. Belinda, anything else you want to share with us before we wrap things up, either about self-care, acupuncture, or your thoughts on the state of the world?
Well, so the other thing coming up too is actually I'm going to be a grandmother for the third time. I'm visiting my son and his wife in the UK in London, and they're going to be giving birth to their first child next month. So really looking forward to that. So might have to be another visit.
Wow. Well, what a fascinating time for these babies to come into when there's massive shifts happening in the world. Have you noticed more people being curious about or embracing more ownership around their own health and well-being? What have you noticed compared to the previous years?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, because, our medical systems become quite dysfunctional. People are waking up to the fact that they have to do things for themselves and take care of themselves. So looking for opportunities. So maybe it's something too, maybe through the, the PHA model, the People's Health Alliance, bringing together different practitioners, in a mini sort of workshop type thing. So people can just get exposed to different modalities and, see what resonates with them. It's like acupuncture is not going to be for everybody because we all gravitate to different things, but it's usually more towards the practitioner, really, I think, whether they're resonating with that particular practitioner. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, there's never been a better time to find out about lots of other holistic health options. And that's really what I'm trying to do, part of what I'm doing on the Up Your Brave show. Thank you for being a guest today, Belinda.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's been a wonderful experience. You are very good at doing this.
Thank you for upping your brave.
Thank you so much.
Cheers. And thanks everyone for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to RCR Reality Check Radio. If you like what you're listening to, dislike what you're listening to, either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057, that's 2057, or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We would love to hear from you, so connect with us today.